This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Frank and Martin, Hollywood Casino Press Box. Bob Ramsey live from Pittsburgh. And in about 20 minutes, Vahe Gregorian is with us now from Kansas City. Vahe, good to be with you. How about the mood in Kansas City a few days later after a devastating loss? How would you describe it?
Well, first of all, I want to say I'm looking at that last song you were playing as my my intro song, Working Your Way Back to Me with a Burning Love Inside. is that what's happening? Thank you.
We thought you might need something. It's a little bit of love right now.
You know, look, I think the mood is probably – it's a little hard to gauge in this sense. I think it was just, you know, blunt, you know, hammer, terrible feeling Sunday night. I think hangover the next day. I think still some hangover now. But I do think this, when the mists part kind of, you're going to still be saying this was the best Chiefs team in 25 years. You know, went the farthest it's gone in 25 years. It's done the right thing, a hard thing to me because he's such a great guy, but the right thing to move on from Bob Sutton. Probably they should have done it a year ago as a defensive coordinator. And I think if you're a Chiefs fan, there's no reason you shouldn't be feeling there's plenty more to come. You don't assume it because you can't assume anything when you haven't been to a Super Bowl in 49 years. But I just think you got to like where the franchise is. You got to hate what happened Sunday. I feel terrible for Dee Ford. I hope people feel terrible for him instead of, you know, hate on him. He didn't lose the game. He was one reason he lost the game. They lost the game and in the most pivotal moment. But that game, you could bring up about 75 things that lost that game.
Yeah, when the Patriots scored with 39 seconds left in the fourth quarter, I said, well, that's it. The Patriots did it to the Chiefs. That's brutal. And all of a sudden, the Chiefs are knocking on the door, so it's amazing they even forced OT. I'm wondering if there was any scrutiny or thought with 11 seconds left, instead of the field goal, one more cry. I know it's dangerous. Did Andy Reid or anyone talk about taking one more shot at the end zone?
You know, we asked Andy about it afterwards, and just in fairness, from my perspective, after they took the first shot and the Patriots had like eight guys in the end zone, I sort of thought there's nothing to be gained here. I mean, you know, we've seen the miracle Patrick Mahomes passes and everything, but I get it. You know, Andy said we knew how they were going to play us. We thought it was just not worth the risk. You know, but of course, I got into this a little bit the other day with something I wrote. You know, what's the risk of the coin toss? And obviously, I think the coin toss holds a little too much sway in how this plays out now.
Is it true that Steve Spagnuolo is the leading candidate for the job?
I don't know. I don't have any intel, any primary intel on this. There's a school of thought. They'll look internally. There's certainly a school of thought, even if it's fan-driven, but there's a school of thought that they better shake it up and start over. You know, obviously Spagnuolo has a history with Andy. Andy may be inclined to go with someone he trusts instead of just starting over. What we don't really have a window to, obviously this all revolves around Andy, but what we don't really know is how much voice even, you know, general manager Brett Veach has in this, right? I mean, Brett Veach came into the NFL through Andy as Andy's personal assistant, basically, with the Eagles. He is the general manager, but, you know, I don't know what the flow chart officially looks like, but I do believe nothing's going to happen without how Andy drives it.
It is amazing, Vahe, how these storylines play out. The Chiefs had this whole narrative they can't win a playoff game, they can't win at home, and then they do win a playoff game. They take care of the Colts, they slay the demons and all of the ghosts of the past, and then Andy Reid has his own ghosts of the past, which is conference title games with Philly. He loses that game, and I don't know what the pulse there is. The guy's done a great job. Is there frustration with him? And if so, how do you feel about that?
I think people know that they're better off than they were, that they're way better off than they were. You know, I think people remember they were 2-14 and in the middle of just a chaotic tenure before Andy took over. And, you know, let's remember the Eagles had been 3-13 when Andy took over. Andy's rescued a couple franchises. Yeah, some things have leveled off, and they haven't gotten to the next step. It's a really interesting question. We were kind of looking at it last week when it was Andy against Belichick again. If there were no Bill Belichick, maybe Andy won a Super Bowl when he took the Eagles there. Maybe Andy would have gotten through this game and gone on to another Super Bowl. But there is a Bill Belichick, and Andy's second to him in everything among active coaches. Andy's going to end up being probably one of the three to five winningest coaches in NFL history before it's all said and done. But I do believe that he's going to have to win a Super Bowl or at least somehow get to a winning playoff record if he's going to be a Hall of Fame coach. I think that's sort of where that is.
All right, before we let you go, I know you're on a time schedule here. I got to ask you about Drew Lock, the Kansas City native at the Senior Bowl. I know it probably hasn't been your beat the last couple of days, but what are you hearing? Are you pretty certain that Drew Lock's going to end up in the first round?
I think so. I think it all projects that way. I know how things change, right, as you go forward in these kind of poking and prodding and probing times. But, look, I think Drew's got a rich history in front of him, a rich future in front of him, I should say, and he's smart. Got the arm. Yeah, I know there's some limitations, but I also know that he's really expanded his game and he's more athletic than people realize. I'm really looking forward to what happens with him, and it's a great story for any Missouri fan to follow, but it's especially so here in KC.
Good stuff, Vahe. We appreciate your time. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, guys. Anytime, and hope to see you before long.
All righty. Vahe Gregorian joining us. Were you watching some of that Senior Bowl? I had it up on one of our screens yesterday, and John Gruden, you could hear Gruden kind of yelling at him in the background and stuff. It's kind of fun.
I enjoyed just seeing clips go through Twitter where they would say, here's a pass from Drew Lock. Here's the measurables on Drew Lock. The Mel Kiper thing where he doesn't have him in the first round, to me, is just kind of silly. And I don't know if Mel's got pressure to stay relevant and make some noise. I just find that hard to believe. It's perfect fodder for the Friday slop and for Strickland, but I just don't see any scenario where that's not inaccurate.
I'm pretty sure he had him on there up until Kyler Murray decided potentially, we don't know if he actually is going to enter the NFL draft still or just using that as leverage. So I think he just thought about how many number of quarterbacks are going to go in the first round. Kyler Murray, I guess he hasn't projected better than Drew Lock, so maybe that just completely took Drew Lock off the first round.
I think the debate is at three with Jones from Duke and then Drew.
Yeah, and I don't know if you're going to get five QBs in the first round. I'd be surprised. I think four.
Well, that would put him at four.
Yeah.
I think worst case scenario, he's four.
Because there's no way he doesn't go in the first round. As much as I bash him, I still think there's just no way measurable.
They get 32 teams.
Yeah.
And how about the Raiders with three picks and Gruden seeing him up close and personal? It wouldn't be a great situation to go to because he wouldn't play with David Carr in the prime of his career. But
also, he'd be playing for a really bad franchise.
But you'd be going to Vegas.
Disappear.
Get to live in Vegas for a while.
Play 1 year somewhere.
Are they going to play in Oakland next year?
They don't know. They're not quite sure where they're playing next year.
Next year is uncertain.
Oakland kicked them out.
Could be San Antonio. Are they for sure not playing in Oakland?
They need to figure. I mean, they've said that they're not going to play in Oakland if they sue them, and they sued them, and now they're looking at sites. I read a week or two ago that they've looked at the Giants ballpark playing at AT&T Park for the season.
Wow.
It's a disaster. Gosh. They don't know what they're doing.
All right, let's take a little time out here. McBride Homes, Missouri's largest home builder, has a great deal for you during the New Year's sales event. Buy a new McBride home for a limited time. Get 2018 pricing. That's right. Your last chance to get 2018 pricing. And if you haven't walked into one of these McBride Homes, you're just missing something special. Every one of them just has a certain panache about them. So celebrate a fresh start with the new year in a new McBride home. Visit McBrideHomes.com for details. Martin, last night I, as I always do, watched a little Ray Donovan season 5, and I'm not giving anything away because they've had 7 seasons, but the wife died, and it's like, I'm like emotional about it. Just, oh my God, she's.
And you go running into Monique, and she's like, what are you doing? Like, did you know that? She's like, I don't care.
Exactly.
He's stress eating like a carton of ice cream in the corner.
Tears coming down Frank's eyes. Oh my! While he and the dogs are eating ice cream.
I want to drive the same car that Ray Donovan drives. Have you seen that thing yet?
No, oh I have not gotten into that.
You've got to get into it. Yeah.
Hey, before the break, can I play a clip? Because I meant to do this on Monday. I saw the Jim Gray exchange with, is it Bronner or Broner? Adrian, the fighter from the other night, lost the Pacquiao fight.
He's 3-3-1 his last seven.
And as Jim Gray, maybe we should replay that. Jim Gray pointed out accurately. Let's play the Jim Gray. Can we do that first? Yeah. It's a great exchange, and to Jim Gray's credit, even if you think he's annoying or you think he's a weasel, whatever your impressions are of Jim Gray, to his credit, standing next to a boxer, he holds his own with actual facts. Let's play that, and then I want to cue up my favorite all-time boxing exchange, and it's not from Rocky, Frank, unfortunately. It's a real one.
What did you think about the fight?
I beat him. Everybody out there know I beat him. Everybody out there know I beat him. I controlled the fight. He was missing. I hit him clean more times. I beat him.
You averaged 8 punches. Less than 8 punches was the most punches that you had in the round, and it seemed as though you couldn't get close enough.
It already sounded like you was against me, so I already ain't got a fair shake talking to you, but let me talk something. Let me let y'all know. I want to thank the whole hood who came out here. I love y'all. I did this for the hood. Y'all know I beat that boy. What they trying to do is get that money again with Pacquiao and Floyd, but it's cool. I ain't worrying about it. I'm still that man. I'm on top. Cincinnati, stand up. West Side. 2-5.
You're 3-3-1 in your last 7 fights. What will you do next?
Hey, I'm 3-3-1 my last 7, but I'll be 7-0 against you.
Well, that wouldn't mean much. That's the end of this interview.
Which reminded me of the great Larry Merchant going toe-to-toe with Floyd Mayweather.
If he want a rematch, he can get a rematch.
You were in charge of the fight. You were aggressive and trying and taking advantage of what
you
saw.
You know what I'm gonna do, because you don't ever give me a fair shake. You know that? So I'm gonna go and let you talk to Victor Ortiz, all right? I'm through. They put somebody else up and give me an interview.
What are you talking about?
You never give me a fair shake. HBO needs to fire you. You don't know about boxing. You ain't you not.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your
That's the best. I think you can see the A word, can't you?
I wasn't sure.
All right. I wish I was 50 years younger. I'd kick your...
Wow.
Isn't that great? And then Larry makes these weird faces anyway. He kind of looks back at the camera.
Larry's got that one eye, kind of like that pirate thing going.
Still alive.
How old? Larry Merchant?
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, he's pushing 80, I'd say.
82.
78.
87.
Oh, my God. And that was 7 years. He was
at
like
least
80.
7 years
it was,
ago.
So it was like 80 when he said, I'd kick your ass.
Now, I'll tell you what, too, is what he did and what Jack Whitaker used to do. Larry Merchant would give you a composition on that fight with like an introductory paragraph, 3 bodies, and a concluding with no teleprompter, with thousands of people screaming, yelling, cursing. And he would deliver it in a pretty smooth fashion after a fight. Now, granted, his eyes were a little cockeyed, but the guy was really good. The other guy was Jack Whitaker, that he'd be at a British Open, no prompter, wind and, you know, just – and he would give these – it was almost – it was Costas-esque. But Bob is always doing it in front of a prompter, and Jack Whitaker would just do it right on the course.
Yeah, it's amazing that Jack Whitaker wasn't better known because he was so good. Yeah. And maybe it's because his sports tended to be a little bit more of the...
Golf.
Yeah, not the primary sports when you see him pop up, but he was really good.
He also had an exchange with Bernard Hopkins, Larry Merchant did, where he said that after a fight that Bernard got paid for doing very little work, and Bernard replied, "Let me tell you something, Larry, you get paid every day on TV for not doing much."
All right, touche. Touche. I just love the fact he was 80 when he said, "I would have kicked..." He did 50 years younger, I was 30. Oh, okay, yeah. He actually probably thought it out a little bit. Let's see, 50 years younger. I don't mind Jim Gray, but there are times when I did think he was. I think the Pete Rose thing, as Tony would say, he missed the moment. It was just maybe not the time and place.
We were celebrating Rose having a good moment for the first one in a long time, and Jim kind of rained on that.
And then he got stiffed as a result. Jim Gray, it was Chad Curtis.
Yes.
We don't like what you did to Pete.
Who now is in prison
right?
himself. Yes.
Along with many other ex-Yankee pitch hitters.
John Wetland.
Boy, those 90s Yankees have some issues.
Yeah.
Kind of a problem bunch there's of
a
times.
Little, there's a little checkered past there.
Laritz?
Jim Laritz. Went to jail for DUI manslaughter.
Yeah, Leirich killed...
Chuck Knobloch had issues... Was it before or after the... Didn't he have domestic violence issues?
Yes.
Was that before or after his time in New York?
And then John Wetland was like a week ago.
Yes.
That's the most shocking. Like, he had this spotless reputation. He was in a Texas Ranger Hall of Fame, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, just, you know, like a stand-up guy, and then wham. And that was like sex with a minor over like a 3-year period?
Under 15 or something? Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That's yeah. Not good.
All right, let's
go. On that note.
Yes.
Let's go to quickie.
Let's go to Pittsburgh when we come back. We're going to chat with, look at this, Larry the Cam Girl. What, WTF, Frank, I'm on season 2.
Oh, we're just a bunch of spoilers on this show.
I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, Ray, how old?
It's been on a while.
That's probably a few years ago, what you're referencing.
I'm sorry, though. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back.